People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen, the jury. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they refer to in the title of the damn thing. Thanks for being here. You're wonderful. Oh my God, you're wonderful. I don't even know you, but I sense your wonderfulness because you tuned into the program, and I think that's says a lot about you. Says nothing about me, but says a lot about you. Ooh, tons. Baggage up the you-know-what, huh? Anyway, interesting show today. I believe in my heart and the other organs in my body that are still being used. times are tough, kids. The feds, and I don't know who they are. There's Bob Fed, Marion Fed, John Fed. The feds apparently are considering raising interest rates or lowering. They don't know what to do. They're trying to balance the economy so everything's okay. But in doing so, the interest rates are just like through the roof. And it's wonderful if you have a savings account, you can make some money just by having your money sit there. Wasn't that wonderful? Wow, what a wonderful thing. Have a savings account and just sit there and watch your money grow. I love sitting and watching money grow. It's even better than watching paint dry because there's a benefit. Well, watching paint dry, you're going to get a nice wall. Or, you know, a nice paint job when it dries. So I guess there's a benefit to that too. But you don't watch it. But I like to watch my money grow. I think that's fun. It's a good time. Sometimes I'll get a sandwich and a beverage, and I'll sit there and I'll watch my money grow in a savings account. It doesn't do much for my exercise or for my health, but it's a good job. It's a good job just to sit there and watch your money grow. Anyway, you can do that a little bit, but the interest rates, if you want to get a car or a house, it's almost like you can't. I never thought of that. Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. That's not good. Mortgage rates and interest rates, bad. Bad credit card rate, bad. If you really want to get a slap in the face, give me a call. If you really want to get a slap in the face, sit down and figure out what you're paying on your house or your car in interest. This is stuff that has nothing to do with the cost of the merchandise that you're trying to buy. But this is just money that you're throwing out of your pocket because someone's giving you the money up front, which you don't have. The amount is extraordinary. Because it's not just, it's compounded interest. I don't even understand that. Why don't they teach that in school? Forget the history and the math thing and the creative writing. I'm creative. I can sign my name creatively. Yeah, forget that stuff. Teach the kids the stuff that they're going to need to know in life. And that includes a lot of stuff that they don't teach. like the Heimlich remover, the Heimlich remover. That's did you buy the Heimlich remover? Yes, my Heimlich has been removed. The Heimlich maneuver. What the hell's wrong with me? I can't even talk and I do a talk show. Teach the kids the Heimlich maneuver. CPR. Most people don't know what that stands for, but it doesn't matter. Teach them CPR. Teach them how to figure out mortgage rates, interest rates, things like that. How to make out a will. I mean, seriously, people don't know this. They don't know how to buy insurance. Teach them the basics of the life thing. Which foods are healthy, what they do to your body, the organs in your body, and what they do and what they try to say to you. Teach them the stuff that they need to know. I spent so many years in school learning shit that I never used at all. And I'm an older adult. I would have used it by now. But I haven't. Geometry? No. They have Google now. Google tells you what it is. Alexa will tell you everything you want to know. Why go to school? Seriously. I mean, times have changed. I spent years in English class for penmanship and how to write script. You don't even know what I'm talking about, kids, do you? Years writing in italics is basically what it was. It was writing in italics or italics, whatever. How to write a letter in nice script. I mean, years trying to. Now, the only thing is my name, signing my name, which most people don't even, it's not even recognizable. It's just a blob of pen stuff. Well, that's your signature. Your name's in that signature? Yes, it is. That's my signature. Now shut up. So you can't question people's signature. That's a sloppy signature. Oh, that's my signature. Don't you talk about my signature. That's my signature. But I can't even see your name. Shut up. That's my signature. So many years wasted algebra. Give me a freaking break with the algebra crap. Come on, unless you're an engineer on a train or something or building skyscrapers, what the hell do you need algebra for? Come on. There are people coming out with educations and all these strange subjects and they don't even know how to fry an egg. Teach cooking. Don't give me the home economics crap. Teach people how to cook. Teach people how to dress. Color coordination, things like that. Teach them the appreciation of the arts. I know in some schools they do that, but, you know, just as a, well, we'll teach them that just to make the parents happy. No, that's the basis of a person, having culture, an appreciation of culture, an appreciation of people from other countries, bringing their traditions into life. We're a melting pot in this world, certainly within this country. Teach people to be open and loving. Teach this shit in school, why don't you? Instead of these curriculums. Half of the history that I was taught in school when I was growing up was not the real thing. It was just because it was in the book already. But we come to find out that it didn't happen the way that we're taught. And yet we're still taught that. Education is just upside down in this country. Now, I don't know what they do in other countries. I mean, I'm not that familiar. But I don't care. Teach the kids the stuff that they know to make it through life. Not the subjects. I'm talking about being a person, being a productive member of society, learning how to buy things and do things and maneuver things. Things like that. Anyway, thank you for listening. I appreciate that. I feel like I owe you, but I'm not going to, but I feel like I should. It's a struggle, man. It's the biggest struggle is when you get out of school, whether it be high school or college, whatever your parents can afford, basically is the bottom line to that. Were you smart enough to get a scholarship? That's nice. That's not the end of the cost, my friend. No, the cost just goes up from there. College is such a farce. Such a farce. You know, we have the finest college professors in the nation. Oh, what courses did they teach? Oh, they don't teach. We have associate students that teach. Then what's all this thing with the professors? They write books, and we market them as part of the college, even though they don't really do anything. And their salaries are through the roof, and that's the way it is. Okay, fine. What the hell? And we just sit there, and parents just go, okay, whatever. I mean, God, why is college cost so much in this country? In other countries, it doesn't cost that much, or it's free. In this country, it's like unaffordable. Did you go to college? Couldn't afford to. It's not that I'm stupid. Couldn't afford to. Didn't want to come out of college being penny broke, owing hundreds of thousands of dollars. Didn't want to do that. There's nothing wrong with community college. Oh my God, they teach the same crap, and it's less expensive, and you can live at home. Parents, just another 4 years. It's not a big deal. After that, they're out of there. If, you know, they can afford to move out. Anyway, I remember one of my first jobs, and I will tell you this story, and you will like it. I think you will, because you'll probably be able to relate to it. If you don't have a story to tell about a horrific job that you had when you started looking for work, then you didn't go through the thing. You can't live well toward the end of your life if you don't claim that you suffered a little bit. I mean, if you don't learn how to maneuver the speed bumps in life, you're going to ruin the chassis on your car. It's an analogy. It's an analogy. So I was looking for work. I was out of work. I was living in New York City. Now, that's not easy to live in New York City because it's fairly expensive. But at the same time, there's a lot of people living in New York City. It's not just you looking for a job in a small western town in Iowa. And I don't think Iowa is really in the West necessarily. I don't know where the hell it is, to be honest with you. See, you see, school couldn't even teach me that. I should know that, right? I know where Iowa is. I'm kidding. But most people don't. Anyway, New York City, there's billions of people looking for jobs just like you are. So it ain't easy. So I went to an employment agency, figuring, well, if that's what you do, you find people jobs, I probably want to say hello to you. Do I have to pay a commission to get the job? No, the employer pays for that. Oh, this is a good deal then. So I go to this employment office. And by the way, people who work in employment offices, they're employed, but not a lot, you know. They're kind of lucky they found their job, to be honest with you. So anyway, so I'm I'm in the employment office, and some guy is questioning me, and he doesn't look like he knows what he's talking about either. He says, well, we do have this open. He says, are you interested, or do you have any talent you believe in sales and marketing? Oh, well, not in sales, but in marketing. I like to buy stuff in the supermarket, and I have some ideas on how people should buy things. Well, you might like this job, Ron. We've got a job in marketing. Really? Yes, and you can start, like, today. I mean, it's early in the morning. You can go right over there, and they'll talk to you and probably set you up. You seem like an impressive young man. Well, thank you so much. Where is this? Oh, it's like 5 blocks away. Just you don't even take the subway. Just walk down the street, and it's the whatever marketing company and the Shark Tooth marketing company, and go on down. Okay, wow. And I called my girlfriend at that point and said, hey, you know, I got a, I went to the employment agency. I already got a job.
She said, that's fantastic, Ron. It's fantastic.
So I walk down the street 5 blocks and I go into this this building. New York, everything's in a tall building. And I go up to the 5th floor and I walk in there and it's a very impressive looking place. And I open the door to the marketing agency and sitting there are about 20 guys who look just like me, my age, obviously in my predicament. And I thought, hey, wait a minute. I thought I'm going to be starting a job here and there's 20 guys sitting there waiting to be seen. What the hell's going on here? Well, is this a prostitution ring and I'm one of the prostitutes? What's going on? Why are there 20 people sitting in the waiting room here for a job that I just got? And I'm sitting down, and I'm not saying a word. Nobody is. And these guys sitting there do not look professional. They do not. They look like they just killed somebody. They do not look professional. As a matter of fact, I felt out of place because I hadn't killed anybody. Not yet. They're not well-dressed, they look a little seedy, and yet they're sitting there waiting to be seen. I thought, this is a little strange that I've been placed amongst people that look seedy. I don't think I look seedy. I don't even know what that word means. I don't know what it has to do with seeds, to be honest with you. All of a sudden, this guy comes out of a room, and he says, okay, I'll take the next 10 of you. 10 of us? What? We walk into this room. We sit down. It looks like a little, there's this chair set up and a place for the guy to stand in the front who's doing the presentation. He says, welcome to the Sharktooth Marketing Company. Are you guys ready to go? You're ready to make some money? And everybody goes, yeah, right. He says, okay, this is it. Come on down, and you're all going to get a check for $50 today. Ooh, $50 just for showing up. This is pretty good. He says, now come on outside with us. We've got a car waiting for you. We're going to give you a little tour and show you the ropes and get you to work. But so excuse me, what do we do? What are we doing? He says, marketing and sales. Okay. So we follow him downstairs. We get in the elevator, me and 9 other guys, nine other seedy guys. And outside, there's a limousine waiting, and there's 2 limousines waiting. 5 guys go in each limousine. And I thought, uh-oh, they are going to drive me under a bridge and kill me. It was a rule for me not to get into somebody else's car and let them drive me anywhere. I don't know where you're going. It's probably it was a thing. So I get in the car. There's 4 other guys in the car with me. And again, they look like they're not really human. We go over the George Washington Bridge into New Jersey. And they bring us to a town that I was familiar with in New Jersey because I as a child I was brought up in New Jersey. They bring me to Hackensack, New Jersey. And the limo parks behind a building, and we get out, and the driver is there, and there's a representative from the marketing company, and he says, "Okay," and then they open the trunk of the limousine, and there's like. About 10, 20 cases, wooden cases. And he says, okay, what you do is we're going to come back in about 2 hours and pick you up. And here you go. Sell as many steak knives as you can. I said, excuse me? He says, these are steak knives in a box. It's a set of steak knives. And we want you to go down the street to the businesses and try to sell them steak knives. I said, what? And you can go into private homes if you would like and see how many boxes of steak knives you can sell, and you'll get 25% of every sale that you make, including a $50 check at the end of the day. I said, excuse me, sir. This is marketing and sales? Yes, it is. And of course, what pops into my head, this is a door-to-door salesman crap thing. I probably could sell a vacuum cleaner or two, but steak knives? Steak knife. And the other guys are all seedy looking. I mean, don't give knives to these guys. No one's going to buy a knife from a guy that looks like he could kill you with the very merchandise that he's selling. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. Well, I took my three or four boxes of steak knives, and what I did was the other guys left, and I said, okay, whatever, I guess, you know. So I went into one store. It was a judo karate place, judo karate school, and the guy says, y'all, can I help you? And I said, yes, I'm with the Shark Tooth or whatever this is, marketing company. I'm selling steak knives. And I don't know exactly what he said, but I think it was something to the effect of get the fuck out of here kind of thing. Well, I took my boxes of steak knives, and I found another kid who was you know, going down the block as well. There were four other kids. And I gave him my steak knives, and I said, here, I'm leaving. Here, you can sell them. And I found a bus. I was familiar with Hackensack. I knew the bus route. There's a bus that goes back into Manhattan. I got on that bus, and I went right back to Manhattan and got on the subway and went home. And that was a lesson of futility. It was a horrible day. I'll never forget it because I just told you the story. But it was important. It was an important experience because it made me who I am. It made me suffer a little bit, embarrassed, confused, desperate, stranded. A lot of different things happened in that one little steak knife job, which lasted only about 2 hours total. Never got my $50 check because I didn't make it through the day, but I didn't need to because it was a lesson. It was a life lesson and a story that I can tell. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us, but first, this commercial word.
Sure, I like a good burger, but for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something like cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted beef byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Rich Smith is Chief Product and Marketing Officer at PenFed Credit Union Home Loans, and we're talking about the housing market, which has certainly been a topic of conversation lately. It obviously had some problems due to the COVID, and then with the raise in interest rates. How are things going, Rich?
Well, you know, it's great to say that I think there is some improvement in the housing market. You know, the median home sales price is still a little bit above $400,000, mm-hmm. but it's actually down about 3% in the past year. Mortgage rates seem to have peaked in October. Mm-hmm. They're actually down about 0.75 percentage point in the past 6 months. And the actual supply of housing, you know, the number of homes for sale, is also increased a bit, about 7% yes. in the past year. So there are signs of improvement.
Okay, and we are entering into the season of home sales. I assume winter is usually not a great time for a lot of transactions.
Yeah, this is actually the beginning of the peak season for people, you know, buying homes and moving. Though COVID has really changed some things. Mm. The traditional purchase market, as we would call it in the mortgage industry, is actually a little bit expanded more throughout the year than really just being concentrated in the spring months.
Okay. Which do you think is more of a crippling problem for those trying to find a home? Would it be the mortgage rates or would it be the cost of the homes? I'm sure it's a mix of the two, but which one is more of a concern?
It is really a mix of the two. Mm. You know, while I said that home prices have decreased a little bit, they're still about 32% higher than they were pre-COVID. Right. And the number of homes for sale, you know, at the same time the homes have gotten more expensive, there are fewer of them to buy. So that's gone down about 30% from pre-COVID times. And then, you know, you have in the past year, while mortgage interest rates have dropped a little bit recently, they're still about 2 full percentage points higher than they were just a year ago.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, what that means for a family, you know, if you're buying that median home that's about $400,000, you know, that's an increase in monthly payment of about 25%. So it's a substantial impact.
It's kind of a question of what you're used to. When I was a younger adult, the interest rates were 12-14% on mortgages, and no one really thought twice about it because they didn't shoot up from like from 2 all the way
right,
up.
Right. I think it's all relative.
It
change,
is.
Right.
It is. Certainly, if you already own a home and you want to move to another, downsize, upsize, whatever, you've got something to play with. But I certainly, we need some advice for those that are just starting out in life or in an apartment and starting a family and need a home. That's where it's difficult, isn't it?
It is. It's challenging for everyone, but it's particularly challenging for people who are buying their first home.
Yeah.
And what I would say is the first thing to do is get pre-approved for a mortgage. You know, getting pre-approved allows you to know how much home you can afford, have an idea of how you would fit that monthly payment into your budget, and it actually puts you in a much stronger position when you find the home you want to win the offer, particularly if there are other bidders on the same property.
Right. Yeah, that's something else that we're not used to when it comes to home buying. We're not used to paying over the price. We're used to making a lower offer and usually getting the home.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's really changed, and it's partially due to the limited supply of homes right now.
How do you make home ownership more affordable besides getting pre-approved? I mean, are there certain tips or advice you can give to especially younger people?
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Consider all of your loan options. Mm-hmm. You know, the 30-year conventional fixed mortgage is the most popular product, but it's certainly not the only one.
Right.
And there are many programs such as a VA mortgage, which is guaranteed by the Department of Veterans Affairs, or an FHA mortgage, which is insured by the Federal Housing Administration. Some of these programs have either low or in some cases no down payment options, as well as more flexible credit terms.
Yeah, my first home, not to make this all about me, but my first home when I was younger was it was an assumable mortgage from a veteran.
From the Veterans Administration.
Yes.
Right.
So I mean it was unbelievable.
That's a great feature of that program.
Yeah. But the point is to look for those things and take advantage of those things and seek them out. Is there a way of doing that?
Yeah, certainly. You know, one thing that I would recommend is to consider a credit union. You know, credit unions are member-owned organizations, typically have lower rates and fees. You know, for more information about home buying and home financing, we actually have a lot of resources on our website at PennFed.org in our Mortgage Knowledge Center. They're all free to read or download. I'd encourage people who want to learn more to go there and use that as a resource.
Well, it sounds like if you're looking for a home, go there anyway and get all the information you can get.
Right. Yeah, we really tried to be helpful. I mean, our mission is the financial well-being of our members, so that we feel that education is part of it.
Yeah, that's something that wasn't around when I was growing up. That's a nice addition to Possibilities, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Give me the connection, the website, the phone number, whatever I need.
Would it just encourage you to go to penfed.org, P-E-N-F-E-D.org, and feel free to take advantage of the resources that we have.
Wonderful. Rich, if someone were in a position where they're in an apartment and they're looking for a house, is it time to do it, or is it better to stretch it and wait a little bit?
Well, I really think that depends on your personal financial situation, but there's no best time to buy a home, right? Well, none of us can predict exactly when interest rates will move or home prices will move. I think it comes down to what's the best time for you financially, for your family. But I'd encourage you to talk to a mortgage professional. Find someone that's not just going to quote you rates, but it's going to ask you those kinds of questions and really help you determine whether home buying is for you right now, or maybe you need to make other changes in your financial condition.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's penfed.com, is that correct?
.org.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I said .com so that I can highlight that it's not .com. It's
we are not for profit.
Good. All right. I like that too. That kind of makes me a little more comfortable on top of it, to be honest with you. Rich, thank you so much for your time today. Penfed.org. Go there. Always know as much as you can before you undertake any considerable endeavor. Thank you, Rich. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you to my guests, and thank you for you. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. But until then, I wish you peace.